Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 1. Let's find that epistle. 2 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 1. Having been with the middle school chapel, I'm thrilled to be with you guys because I know that you'll converse, you'll interact, you'll pay attention. You are so much more of a pleasure to be with. Simon is our author. Simon Peter is our author. You see there in the first line, he's a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. He's writing to those who have attained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. He prays that grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He says in verse 3, that God's divine power has granted to us, that's us if you're a believer this morning, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who's called us to or by His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us precious and very great promises, that through them you and I may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Let's pray. God, help our chapel service to be exceptional. Help it to be unique. Help it to be a good time together as we learn and grow in your word. In Jesus' name. Divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life, eternal life and godliness. Let's start with defining the word godliness. What do we mean by the word godliness? Let me get a sophomore to tell me what we mean by godliness. Yep. Righteousness. All right. Anyone else? Godliness. What do we mean by godliness? Do not disappoint me. What do we mean by godliness? If someone is very godly, what do we mean? If we say that person is very godly, what do we mean by that description? Someone is very godly. Obedience. All right, they live life after God's standards. Anyone else? What do we mean by someone who's very godly? How about a senior? Let's bail me out, please. Separated from the world. Anyone else? Selfless. Anyone else? Okay. You said compassionate. Now you're getting into what of God. When we say compassionate, we're getting the what? The attributes or the? Excellent. The characteristics. So then someone who is godly is characterized by emulating the character and nature of God. Now, what do we mean by the word emulate? Mimic. What else? Shows. I'm not sure about that. What are the things that we often emulate? What does it mean to emulate? What would you emulate? What? Copy. All right, so what are the things that you might think about emulating? What do you do? How do you emulate? Where does that come from? What does that look like? If you're a basketball player, what do you do? You wear Jordans. That would be emulating. What else? So let's take it even a step further. If you're a basketball player, what would you do with regard to emulation? All right, you would attempt to do like what LeBron does, right? I assume he's a basketball player, right? Okay. So you look at an athlete. You see the way they pass. You see the way they dribble. You see the way they handle the ball. You see the way they shoot. And you, Emily, what do? You weren't paying attention. You emulate the character and nature of the athlete. If he's a hard worker, what do you attempt to do? Yeah. Why do people take supplements? Why do people take supplements? I'm shifting the discussion for just a minute. Why do people take supplements? Let me back the train up. Maybe you don't even know what a supplement is. All right. What is a supplement? Jack, what's a supplement?
No idea. All right.
It's a vitamin or some source to help you get bigger.
Yeah, some type of organic material or synthetic material that you normally take orally with the desire or the perception or the belief that it will do what? What? Yeah, it'll enhance something. You could take a supplement for strength training. You could take a supplement for endurance. You could take a supplement for mental focus. These are these beliefs that the chemical or the organic material, if it's natural, will aid in something. That's what a supplement is. So why is it then that a supplement will often have a picture of someone on there? Right. Now, typically the guys are small, puny, and no, you would disagree with that. No, they got these giant shoulders, brother, and they got like stripes here, like if I took my t-shirt off, you know, and ripped like this, you know. That wasn't necessary, you know. And you're like, I want to be like him, so I'll take that. Isn't that how we market it? Anybody here got Jordan something on? Anybody got something Jordan? You do. What are you wearing that's Jordan? Sneakers. Anybody else? Sneakers. Anybody else? Why is it that he has been so successful in marketing that brand and we pay more for it because it has that label on it? Why is it that he's been so successful in doing that? Talk to me. Is it because they like him as a basketball player? Is that what you said? Yeah. What do y'all think? Is that a decent answer? Is that so? If Jordan was characterized by the worst basketball player, would we be buying his shoes?
No.
Wouldn't even have shoes. Right, Cole. He wouldn't even have shoes. Now, we're talking about godliness. We haven't left that discussion. We're looking at the character and nature of God. And we're emulating everything that we can about God. What are the attributes that I can emulate? What are the attributes that I can and what are the attributes that I cannot emulate? What are the attributes that I can and cannot? I'm asking you to think this morning. You can emulate his love. Excellent. Okay. You cannot be perfect. And that's right in the middle. I want to talk about that for just a minute. Give me one that you clearly cannot emulate. Omnipotent. He's all powerful. You'll never be all powerful. Another one. Omniscience. That is to say he's all knowing. You'll never know everything. Another one. His what? His patience. You can emulate his patience. You cannot emulate his omnipresence. Right. That he's everywhere. You can't emulate that. What? You can emulate his forgiveness. So then we would say that God, according to Scripture, has given me everything that's necessary as pertaining to Zoe, that's the Greek word for eternal life, and godliness. I can be more like God. I can be more like God day by day. I can take on the characteristics of God in a limited sense. Why do we say a limited sense? Why do we say a limited sense? Why did I say a limited sense? Because we can't be complete like God. Now, Joseph, you mentioned holiness. Perfection, right? So what about that one? What does the high school think of that one?
We can try to be like that.
Okay, so we'll never completely achieve it this side, but okay, moments of holiness. Okay, windows of time. All right, verse 4 is it or 5? Which one are we on? All right, by which he has granted to us precious and great promises. Let's quickly do this. What are the promises he has granted to us? Freshman, give me one. Sophomore, give me one. Junior, give me one. Senior, give me one. Let's start with freshman. Eternal life. Excellent. That's one. Eternal life. Next promise. Sophomores. Would you come up and deliver an English lesson? I'm going to go back to my office, okay? Sophomores, please. Could I get one more promise? Because there are several. Yes. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Good job. The filling of the Holy Spirit. Sealed, according to Ephesians 1, with the Holy Spirit. So what did you say? Eternal life. And what did you say? All right, juniors, number three. The coming. I'm coming again. Sure, I've given you a promise that I am coming back for you. And can I get a senior to give me a fourth one? Imputed righteousness. Now, that's an amazing term right there. Where did you get that from? Okay, good, good. I knew you didn't come up with that on your own. Right. So imputed righteousness or the forgiveness of sins. Now, why is it a big deal that he's promised to forgive my sins? Someone who's bored out of their mind, engage in the sermon for just a moment. Like, just come out of boredom and engage. Earth the sleeper, come in. Can I throw something? Talking to you. It's rude to sleep in all countries, in all nations, everywhere it's rude to sleep on the speaker. In China and Korea and America, everywhere it's rude. Did you know that? Everywhere. It's not just in America. It's always rude to go to sleep on someone. If you're tired, stand up. That's what you do, because you're going to be tired. There were many times that I went to lectures and I stood up. You know why? Because I was tired. I was working a second job, and I got tired. And I knew that I had a greater probability of staying awake if I stood up. It's not rude. It's what adults do. I'm teaching you. That's what I'm here for. I'm a life coach, getting you ready for adulthood. Why is it a big deal that he's forgiven our sins? Someone tell me, why is it a big deal that he's forgiven our sins? Yep. Why is it a big deal that he's forgiven my sins? Emily, can you help me out? Why is it a big deal that God has forgiven my sins? You so regret that I learned your name, don't you? Yep. Why? Why is it a big deal that God's forgiven my sins? Is there anyone that can tell me besides Jacob? Zach.
You can't acquire eternal life.
Yeah, you can't go to heaven. If your sins are not forgiven, you're going to hell. What attribute of God demands that you go to hell if your sins aren't forgiven? What attribute of God demands that you go to hell if your sins aren't forgiven? Jacob. His justice. That's right. He's just. He's just. And he cannot let sin go unpunished. He cannot. If he does that, he ceases to be just. And if he ceases to be just, he ceases to be perfect. And if he ceases to be perfect, then he's not God. He's not God. So I've been granted great and exceeding precious promises, like filled with the Holy Spirit, granted eternal life, sins are forgiven. That's huge. Why? All right, look next. So that I can do what? Look at the text. So that I can do what? It's right there. Just look at the words. They're on the page. Then I can become partakers of the divine nature. I can be like God. We're not saying some funky stuff like become God. We're saying that we become like God in the sense that we take on his characteristics, his attributes, the character and nature of God. Which ones? We call them the communicable ones. That are the ones that we can take on. Can I be just? Sure. Do you prefer that I be just? Do you prefer that I be just? Sure. Absolutely. Imagine for a moment I'm not just and I just kick kids out of school just because I don't really care for you too much. And there's not a legitimate reason. I just don't care for you. You just kind of rug me the wrong way. and you just irritate me, and you're out of here because I'm the sovereign, and it's a private school, and you have no right to be here, and so you're out of here. And someone says, why were they kicked out? Well, he doesn't really fit, and that's it. It's not because they were fighting. It's not because they were a pothead. It's because just didn't really like them too much. You're out of here. Fell asleep in my chapel message. You're done. Pack your bags on your way back home. And you would say, that's not very just. Not very just. Not very just. So you want people to have God-like attributes. Agreed or disagreed? You want policemen to have God-like attributes. You really do. You don't like corrupt cops. Corrupt cops that are on the take. Pull you over and tell you a 20 spot will get you out of this ticket. You don't want that kind of a corrupt system or society. Nod your head. Okay, good. Maybe we should move chapel to Tuesday. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement. Remember, we had a discussion about supplements. So what word can we put in there instead of supplement? Substitute? Nope. Enhance? How about the word add? If you supplement your workout, you're adding something to your workout. You're adding something to it. You add this drink before you work out. You add these amino acids before you work out. You're hoping that your workout will be more what? Effective, beneficial, right? So now I want to just go over these six or seven things that are listed here that we're going to add to our what? Add to our faith. Let me write them down on the board. That'll help you maybe remember them. Faith. All right, let's start with, what do we have faith in? Freshmen, what do we have faith in? First and foremost, what must we have faith in? Genesis 1:1. Freshmen, where are you at? Raise your hand if you're a freshman. Let's start with that idea. That way, maybe you don't even know you're a freshman. Okay, if you're in the ninth grade, you're a freshman. Okay, let's start with that one. Now you know. Okay, faith in what? God. Right, you got a faith in God. That's the starter. God as the what? As the creator. And then what's next after that? What would be number two? Clearly number two. What would definitely be number two? Christ. Absolutely, Christ. Christ. And then number three definitely would have to be the what? The gospel. Right, the gospel. Excellent. So faith in God as the creator, faith in Jesus as the one that God sent, faith in the gospel as the work that Jesus did. Give me a sophomore that's going to give me just an amazing definition of the gospel. Let's do it. Yep, let's hear it. Are you a sophomore? Yeah, go ahead then. Threw you off, huh? Woo, it's gone just like that, man. All right. Is there a sophomore that knows the gospel well enough that if they have a brief interruption, it doesn't dump it from their short-term memory? Try it again.
The good story.
Keep it up.
Good news.
Yep.
Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again.
All right. According to the scriptures. Excellent. Good job. I had lots of fun with that. All right. Good. All right, after faith, what's next? What's it say in the text, please? Just look down at your Bible. We're actually working through the Bible. It's a unique idea. What's it say?
Virtue.
All right, good. All right, I have 12 ounces of pure liquid sensation. It is a combination of caffeine, yellow coloring,
orange juice.
Man, I didn't... Wow, I'm going to have another one today. I didn't even know that. And lots of sugar. Right. And I have a 12-ounce Mountain Dew for the student who can tell me the best answer for what virtue is. Yes, sir. What? No, we've already said godliness. You're on the right track. Righteousness. righteousness on the right track. I'm looking for two words. Sal, I'm looking for two words. Come on. He said excellence, but there's even a word that's going to go with it. Yeah, we only spent like 9 weeks working over this passage on Sunday mornings. I mean, we only read this text, Mr. May, like for 12 weeks in a row, every single word. And every time I read it, I would insert these two words in here. Excellent. Exactly. It's moral excellence. Excellent. It's moral excellence. It's moral excellence. Good. Now, what do we mean by moral? What do we mean by moral? What do we mean by morality? Joseph, our values, all right? What do we mean by that? Let's unpack it even more. If we say someone is very immoral, that's an immoral person, what assessment are we making about them? Jacob? All right, they struggle with determining between right and wrong, and immoral would be what? Wrong. Yeah, they're characterized by wrong. So then what would moral be? What would moral be? Jack, if someone is very moral, if we say that's a moral person, what would we say? Good, sure, good. Absolutely. They're a good person. They do the right thing. So let's put the word right under this, and let's tag it with the word excellence. This person is characterized by doing the right thing. They are excellent at doing the right thing. Given a choice between right and wrong, they are characterized by doing what? Choosing the right thing. They choose the right thing all the time. They are characterized by choosing the right thing. So I'm supposed to take my faith in what? God, Christ, and the gospel. And then I'm supposed to add to it what? Virtue or moral excellence. Now, why is God telling me to take my faith in the gospel and then add to it moral excellence? Would you look at verse number 10? I think it's 10. I hope it's 10. All right, there it is. It is. It's definitely 10. Assurance of what? All right, so let's read verse 10. Let's all read verse number 10. Joseph, lead us in reading verse 10. Nicely done. All right, what are the qualities that he's referring to? We've identified two of them. Yeah, faith, moral excellence, knowledge. We're going to go through them. Self-control. So Peter tells me this morning, he says to me, if you want to make sure that your calling and election is sure, then do this. Add to your faith what? Moral excellence. Be characterized by doing the right thing. At work, be characterized by doing the right thing. On the volleyball court, be characterized by doing the right thing. On the basketball court, be characterized by doing the right thing. Given an opportunity to steal, don't steal. You're at Walmart, and the cashier is slightly incompetent and struggles with giving change back. And suddenly, you've got a $20 bill back in your hand. And you know you're not supposed to have a $20 bill back in your hand. You've just been confronted with an ethical dilemma. This is like a vocabulary lesson for you guys this morning. All right. An ethical dilemma. If you're a Christian, you will be characterized by doing what, Isaac? The right thing. The right thing. How do I know if I'm a Christian? Because I'm characterized by doing the right thing. Does doing the right thing make me a Christian? No. But it sure does give me evidence that my faith is what? Right. Real. True. Authentic. Genuine. Would someone please read verse 11? Let's tag it to verse 11, please. Jacob, nice and loud, please. Verse 11. Hopefully about 80% of you saw what that verse just said. because I know I'm not going to get to everybody. He said, if you do these things, an entrance into the eternal kingdom will be given to you. Like a ticket. Like a ticket. Like these coveted tickets right here. Just imagine for me that this ticket is the ticket into heaven. Like going to a gate at an airport. You know, when you got a pass. And there's a scanner. Angels are there with a scanner. And you've got to have the right barcode. And if you don't have the right barcode with the right ticket, then you're not going to be allowed on the plane. And if you don't get on the plane, you're not going to heaven. And Peter says, make sure that you make your election and calling sure. Why? So that an entrance into the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ will be given to you. Like a hall pass. And God says, here it is. And you get to go into the eternal kingdom with Jesus. First was what? Faith. Second was what? Number three is knowledge. Why knowledge? Why do I need to add knowledge to my faith? Why do I need to supplement knowledge to my faith? Justin. Right. Why do I need to understand God's word? So what? So we can follow his ways. I'm trying to make morally excellent what? Choices, decisions. And sometimes I'm confronted with a dilemma as to know what is the morally excellent choice. Where do I get the information to determine what the morally excellent choice is? Braden, where do I get the information to determine what the morally excellent choice is? From the Word of God. So therefore, I must add to my faith virtue, and to my virtue what, Josh? Knowledge. Excellent. That was wonderful. A little delayed function there, but it worked. Knowledge. Knowledge of the character and nature of God and his word. So that I make morally excellent choices. Now, after knowledge, then what do I supplement my knowledge and virtue with? Self-control. Interesting. Why self-control? Things don't go your way. Why self-control? What? All right, so that you're not led away from the Lord. So you're not a bad testimony. Can I say it like this? So you don't sin. So you don't sin. Self-control keeps me from sinning. If two people are madly in love with each other, but they're not yet married, they will have a strong temptation to engage in the adult relationship, won't they? The answer is yes, even if you don't want to say it, when you're madly in love. And you know what? Every day until marriage day gets even harder and harder. Why? Because you're getting closer and closer to being married. And you're falling more and more in love. And you desire to engage in that which God ordained as right and proper. So in order to avoid falling into that sin and not doing the morally excellent thing, what must you do? You said pray. You have to exercise self-control. Self-control. Self-control keeps me from touching what I shouldn't touch. Yes or no? It does. Because I know if I'm dating and I go down this path and I touch and she touches, then there's a temptation to continue to do what? Touch. And if we keep touching, we may get to the point where we're no longer making morally excellent decisions. So during that pre-marriage stage of our relationship, we're going to have to exercise self-control, because we have the knowledge of what the morally excellent thing is. So we have to exercise self-control. All right, what's next after self-control? Steadfastness. I really like the word perseverance instead of steadfastness. The King James has the word patience. It's endurance. There's approximately 100 of you here. Around 100, somewhere around there. We're close to 100, I believe. Probably 50 of you will not be in church as soon as high school graduation occurs. Probably 50% of you will not be in church. Any church. Probably about 50% of you. Most of you, when you go to college, will not attend worship services on Sunday morning. Most of you will not. Peter tells you that you're supposed to do what in the faith? Persevere. Why do I need to persevere in the faith? He says it right there in verse 11. Yeah, so that an entrance will be ministered unto you into the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. Because in verse number 10, he tells me to make my election and calling what? What word does he use? Sure. See, I want to know, how am I elect? How do I know if I was chosen before the foundation of the world to be saved? Add to your faith what? Virtue. Add to your virtue what? Knowledge. Add to your knowledge what? Self-control. Add to your self-control what? Perseverance. I mean, I'll wonder, won't you wonder, if you never see another person that you went 4 years in high school with and they profess to be a Christian and you never saw them in a worship service ever again after they graduated, would you think, I'm sure they're a Christian? What would you think? They what? Believed in vain. If, in fact, they believed, because some of you don't believe. Some of you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. I know you don't. That's why you're here. We're hoping that God will do a work in you and you'll believe that Jesus is the Christ. All right, we just said perseverance. What's next? Godliness. Being like God. What attributes are the communicable attributes that we want to add to our faith that we can emulate? Which ones are they? No, the attributes of God. Which ones? What can I do? We're going to get there in just a minute, Madison. But what are... I can be patient like God is patient. Next. I can be compassionate like God is compassionate. I can be just like God is just. I can forgive like God forgives. I can be merciful like God is merciful. I can love like God loves. I can strive to love like God loves. I can be gracious like God is gracious. I can go out to a restaurant and get the worst possible service and still give a good tip. You know why? Because God's been gracious to me. I can say, you know what? That waitress is probably having a bad day. And I'm not going to punish her for her bad day. I'm going to be gracious. Why? Because God was gracious to me. So that's godliness. After godliness is what? Yeah, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, brotherly affection. What is he talking about there? Why is he using the word brotherly there? Why is he using the word brotherly? What is he creating? What imagery is he trying to create? A family. That's exactly right. A family. And one of the reasons why you struggle with understanding this is because so many of our families are utterly what? Broken. Dysfunctional. That's correct. But in a perfect model, what is supposed to be there? Mom, dad, brothers, sisters, and what is supposed to be in that perfect model, that God-ordained model? What's it supposed to look like? Christ in the church. What's it supposed to look like? What? Unbroken unity. What's it supposed to look like? Yeah. We can have our own little internal squabbles, but you mess with us and you're messing with all of us. That's my brother you're talking to. That's my sister you're talking about here. You're not going to talk about my sister like that. That's my brother right there. There's supposed to be a bond, isn't there? A unity. A unique love, one for another, because we are brothers and sisters. So we take that family model and what do we apply it to? This. The body of Christ. body of Christ. Us. We're going to be more patient with each other. Why? Yep, and? Because you're right. That's excellent. And? Yeah, because of our unique bond. We're brothers in Christ. We share a kinship, Mr. Raw, that goes deeper than just an acquaintance through the church. We have faith in the same being, God, His Son, and the gospel. That creates a bond. Doesn't matter whether you're Korean, doesn't matter whether you're Chinese, doesn't matter whether you're black, doesn't matter whether you're Puerto Rican. We are first and foremost brothers and sisters in Christ. We have been saved by the same God. We have been adopted into the same family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're going to have more or less altercations. All right, let's back the train up and define what's an altercation. An argument? A squabble? An altercation. What is an altercation? They had an altercation. A fight. Yeah. A dispute. An altercation. So are we going to have more or less in this entity that we call Berean Baptist Academy? More or less? We should have less. Why should we have less? Why should we have less? All right, we're trying to be godlike because we're a family. That's right. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. After that brotherly affection, what's the last attribute? Charity, love. It'd even be better to have the word unselfish love in front of it. Because there's two types of loves. I love you because of everything that you do for me and everything that you provide for me and everything that I get because I love you. That's not what he's talking about there. The love that he's talking about there is deeper than that. How so? All right, you said unconditional. He sent a son for us. When we were yet sinners, God commended his love towards us. I have a Mountain Dew for anyone that knows where that's at. What is on your shirt? Junk from your face? The black on the shirt. Okay. You may. You come see me. God commended his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is that unselfish love? Did God get anything out of the deal? It's one thing for me to love my girlfriend because she loves me. Right? That's not a big deal. I love my wife because she's just an amazing. She takes care of me. She's an awesome companion. That's completely different than the unselfish love that he's describing there. The unselfish love that he's describing there is I extend to you a love without any expectation for reciprocation. I'm not expecting anything back. It's one thing that you love your best friend. You hang out together. You do all kinds of cool things together. You enjoy each other's companionship. That's complete reciprocation. I enjoy being with you. You enjoy being with me. We enjoy being with each other. I get a mutual benefit from hanging out with you. I receive pleasure because of my time with you. That's not the love he's talking about there. That's easy love. Unsaved people do that love. What do you think about like a biker club? Those guys give their lives for each other. They die for each other. The Harley clubs, Special Forces, Delta teams. They give their lives for each other. Policemen that are on the same squad or on the same team. Do they love each other? They'll give their lives for each other. Is it mutual? Yes, and that's what makes it work. That's not our love. Our love goes beyond that. Our love says, I love you without any expectation of being loved back. See the difference? How easy is that? How easy is that? You say, not easy? How easy is that? It's not easy at all. It's unbelievably hard. That's why it's the crowning achievement that you add to your faith. That's why it's the last thing. That's why it utterly sets you apart as a Christian. That's the pinnacle. It's the top. That's why it's the last virtue or quality or attribute mentioned. And then he rolls right into his discussion of this is how you're going to make your election and calling sure. By adding these things to your faith. And in doing so, you can have confidence that the ticket will be given to you to get into the kingdom. So the degree to which you care about whether you go to heaven or hell will be the degree to which you pay attention and execute this lesson. Now the problem is you're all young. And since you're all young, what do you think? When you're young, what do you think? You have time. You're not going to die. Come on, how often do 14-year-olds die? Not very often, right? How often do 17-year-olds die? I mean, all you got to do is open the newspaper and look at the obituaries. You don't see a lot of 17-year-olds on that page. So when you're young, you're not worried about heaven and hell. It's just a reality. That's why it's hard for you to pay attention to this stuff. But I'm telling you the truth. If you're concerned about whether you're saved or not, what will you do? If you're concerned or not about whether you're saved or not, what will you do? You'll add to your faith, virtue, and to your virtue, and to your knowledge, and to your self-control. Yep. And to your perseverance or steadfastness, and to your godliness, and to your brotherly affection, love, or charity, or unconditional love. Now you've been educated. You know what God's word has to say. What is your job now? Yep. Follow through. Execute it. Live it out. Are you doing it alone? No. Who have you been given and sealed with to aid you in this? The Holy Spirit. That's why he can tell you that you're going to be a partaker in the divine nature because you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. That's how cool God is. And oh, by the way, for our guys from China, no other religion on the planet has anything like this. Hindu, Buddha, Islam, nothing compares. Nothing compares. Nothing. No other religion on the planet says a portion of God is inside you to aid you in accomplishing what God wants. Nobody has that. Let's pray. Father, help our students to be different. Help the students at Berean to be remarkable. Help the love to be so contagious that it's infectious. Help the unsaved that are in the academy see that the saved are remarkably different. Help there to be such distinguishing qualities among those who have faith in Christ that those who don't have faith in Christ desire to have the same faith. Help the degree to which we do morally excellent things grow in a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, execute self-control, persevere in the faith. Be godly, love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and show unselfish love. Help those virtues, those qualities to be contagious. In Jesus' name, amen. Those two of you come see me for your Mountain Dew.